Tumblr, the social sharing site, is banning all adult content from its platform starting December 17th. The announcement this week comes after Apple removed Tumblr from its App Store over the appearance of child pornography on the site. But some users feel taking the step to ban all adult content is going too far. For more, let's bring in our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Ronnie Mala is data editor at Recode. Ronnie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Tumblr's announcement yesterday that it is banning adult content came as a surprise to some who didn't know there was porn on Tumblr, although I'm sure there are many people who did know there was porn on Tumblr. Describe this niche that Tumblr has carved out for itself when it comes to adult content.
So heretofore, Tumblr had allowed adult content. So naturally, communities sort of built up around that. This was the place you could feature adult content. Originally, people had migrated from LiveJournal when they started banning adult content to Tumblr. So this became a place where people thought that you could put it. And now that's no longer the case.
And what's behind that decision?
A few things. Tumblr was purchased by Verizon last year. That might have something to do with it. And then after this child porn incident on Apple, they really had to reconsider what they wanted on their site. The CEO had said something to the effect of they wanted a better, more positive Tumblr, a safe space for creative expression. Also that there's a lot of other platforms that do allow this content. So I guess they're just drawing that decision.
And the difficult part of this is, as it is for Facebook, as it is for Instagram and other sites, is to actually monitor everything that's out there. And they're going to be using algorithms for that. But there are already reports from users that innocent images are being flagged as explicit. How good is the technology to figure out what should be up there and what shouldn't?
It's certainly imperfect. They're trying to do this at scale for so many accounts. So naturally, a lot of stuff is going to get swept up. I saw people complaining about cartoons, a picture of a vase, all sorts of stuff getting flagged. They're using pretty broad strokes when maybe they need a finer brush.
Okay. Well, and we welcome listeners who want to talk about what they think about this decision at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, Ronnie, let me ask you about another big story in the tech world, which is Peloton surpassing SoulCycle in the number of customers that it's got. First of all, remind us or tell people who don't know, what is Peloton?
Peloton is a on-demand tech-based exercise. Basically, it's a bike you could have in your house that has a screen, so you could take either live classes or pre-recorded classes in your home.
Okay. And you pay a lot of money for them. I think they're a couple thousand bucks.
Very expensive. $2,000 for a Peloton plus a monthly fee of about 40 bucks.
Okay. But they have been hugely successful, and we're starting to see even brick-and-mortar stores pop up all over the place.
Yeah. I think this has to do with people wanting to – like everything else, they want their exercise to be on demand. They want to be able to do it to work out on their own schedule, not on a class's schedule. So I could certainly see why that's preferable to some people.
So how big a deal is it that they have surpassed SoulCycle in the number of customers they've got?
I think it just shows a larger trend of people moving towards this, as I said, on-demand, tech-based, in-your-home thing. It also means that both of these things are prohibitively expensive, but for the price of 3 SoulCycle classes, you could actually buy and use a Peloton unlimited, and anyone in your house could use it. So it might be a matter of just pricing.
And when you look at the pricing of these companies, SoulCycle withdrew its application to become a public company this year. Peloton, recently valued at $4 billion, is set to go public next year.
Yeah. I don't know if going public or SoulCycle pulling its application to go public means that much. They had blamed market conditions. Certainly, if you stay private, you could avoid a lot of public scrutiny. But overall, you can see that as Peloton becoming, growing, where the other one might be just trying to hold still.
I want to ask you about one more thing, which is as we get into the holiday season right now, one of the big gifts probably many people are going to be getting is a smart speaker. And it turns out now that 16% of Americans have one of these devices. What do you think of that, and where are they successful and where are they not?
Well, they're really successful when you're trying to call up audio content, music on Spotify or radio. There's a stat in my story that about last year at this time, about 4% of NPR's live streaming came through smart speakers, and now about 20% comes through it. So this is really important. This is a really important thing for media and as a way for people to quickly call up the content they want. Where it also works really well for driving, for people with disabilities. But I argue that we haven't found the big major use case that, you know, the thing you couldn't do on your phone or by standing up and walking a few feet to turn on your lights or turn on the stereo. I think the real Jetsons-y type thing is in the future. The perfect use case, the thing that we couldn't have done without voice, has yet to be invented.
Well, my dog is listening to public radio right now on a smart speaker. Rani Mala, data editor at Recode, thank you so much.
Thank you.